us, and we must be prepared to fight him in the passes, perhaps even without our artillery if our transport should prove too slow. That would be a hard thing, but if we must, we shall abandon guns, baggage, tents, porters, auxiliaries, and all the rest, and meet him with rifle and bayonet and 60 rounds a man, as we did against the Hassamaseya in the Black Mountain. God willing, we shall have done with him before the June rains, but if not, we shall march and fight through them, and at need we shall follow him to the Congo, or the Cape. They were the kind of words you'd expect to hear from a Brooke or a Custer, spoken with a heroic flourish and a fist on the table. Napier said them with all the fervour of a man reading a railway timetable. But I thought, farewell and adieu, Brother Theodore, your goose is cooked. This quiet old buffer with the dreary whiskers may not shout the odds, but what he says he will surely do. It remained to be seen what ghastly part he expected me to play in the doing. He touched the map again, drawing his finger in an arc south of Magdala. Whether he flees or is driven southward after we defeat him, that is where his line of retreat must be cut off. And that can be done only with native help. No, not Gubaizi or Menelek, who are not only untrustworthy, but would certainly regard a request for assistance as weakness on our part, and might even turn on us. We must enlist a people who are implacable enemies of Theodore, but have no political interest in his fate, or, for that matter, in Abyssinia, which they regard simply as a source of plunder and slaves. They are the Gallus, of whom you may have heard. Speedy, you have the floor.
Thank ye, Sir Robert, says Speedy,
and stood up, possibly to assist Thought, for he stood frowning a moment, scratching his beard with his spear. The Gallus, says he.
Aye. You remember the Ghazis in Afghanistan, Sir Harry? Well, the Gallus are cut from the same cloth, ferocious, cruel, mad as bloody hatters.
He snapped his fingers.
No, I can give you a better comparison than the Ghazis. Some fellows you know from the American West. Aye, the Gallus are the Apaches of Abyssinia. They seem to live only for raid and murder and abduction, and Lord alone knows how many youths and maidens they carry off each year and sell into Egypt and Arabia. You saw those burned villages and wasted fields on the way here? Those were Gala work. They are a monstrous crew, and as wicked and dangerous as any tribe in Africa. They loathe Theodore because they're Mohammedans, so far as they're anything, and he tried to Christianize them, mostly by fire and sword and massacre. He didn't succeed. But he captured their great amber at Magdala and made it his capital just so that he could keep an eye on them. And they're waiting and praying for the day when they can tear him down.
And with our arrival, they believe that day may be coming, says Napier.
And Speedy, who'd been going like a camp-meeting preacher, took the hint and sat down.
And we must convince them that it is at hand. They fear Theodore with good cause, and they will not move against him unless they are certain that we are determined on his overthrow, and will not rest until he is dead, or our prisoner. So, that was it. Flashy, ambassador extraordinary to a nation of bloodthirsty slave traders, charged with the task of talking them into a war against a barbarian tyrant who was probably a good deal more civilized than they were themselves. That was what was about to be proposed, plain as print. Fortunately, it was impossible. There was something that Napier, in his eagerness to plunge me into the soup, had overlooked. Perhaps my relief showed in glad surprise, which he misunderstood, for he nodded with a glance at Speedy, who was gleaming in anticipation.
"I see you read my mind, Sir Harry," says Napier. "Yes, it is a task for you and you alone. I said no other man in the army could play the part required, for it is a part, and one that you have played before, when you entered Lahore disguised as an Afridi horse-coper, when you smuggled Kavanagh out of Lucknow, when you spent months as a sowal of native cavalry at Meerut before the mutiny."
He was smiling again, no doubt at my ruptured expression.
"But your unique fitness for the work aside,
I know it is the kind of service that you have always sought and excelled at, which is why, I am not ashamed to say, I thank Almighty God in my prayers when the telegraph